Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here with us today. A day that we are broadcasting live on location at Ag in Motion. It's day number two of the three-day show, and we've got a great spot situated at the Co-op Agro booth, the Co-op Farm building. You can't miss us on the corner of 4th and BC. They've got things. They've got the streets, everything so well labeled here. We are at booth 492, and invite you to stop by and say hi. The show is officially open for the day, and she's going to be a scorcher. And I mentioned this a couple of times, not a bad idea to bring some bug spray because mosquitoes are joining us here at Ag in Motion as well. Well, we every month have the opportunity to do a check-in with the police chiefs in both Saskatoon and Regina. Today is the day that we check in with the chief of the Regina Police Service. Chief Laura Lee Davies is joining me by phone. Laura Lee Davies, I am at the Co-op Farm Building. You're a small-town Saskatchewan girl. You know the importance of co-op in rural Saskatchewan.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the heart of lots of small-town communities, for sure.
100%. I mean, I always joke in Abernethy, you go to the co-op for everything from groceries to fuel to just get caught up on the latest news because that's the meeting spot for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely essential to those small towns, and spent many an hour at the Kelleher co-op back in the day.
I can imagine. Okay, Chief Davies, thank you so much for being here. A number of things that I want to get to. Can we start with the call to prayer at the Regina Mosque? I know this has been a topic of discussion. You and I actually discussed it last time you were on the show. Since then, there's been a couple of things happen. I know people at the mosque did a bit of a sit-down survey consultation with public. Can you talk a bit about where things are at right now?
For sure. So we did receive an application to continue with the prayer. The initial permit only allowed for four broadcasts, only one of which actually went forward. So we've had lots of conversation with the mosque. They've actually sent us their survey results from their informal survey that they did last week. So we're taking a look at it. We're reviewing the application and determining what that will look like going forward. So I anticipate probably within the next week or so we'll have a decision on whether that will be approved going forward.
How challenging is an issue like this? Because when I had you on the show last time, I mean, you made it pretty clear that you have criteria that you look at when you're adjudicating on approving any sort of an amplification permit. This one met all of those criteria. There was no reason for you to say no, but clearly it has caused some conversation in the community. Does this put the police service in a bad spot? Will there be changes going forward in terms of how this is being utilized by the police service?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tricky situation. Obviously, people in our community have strong emotions about this. And for us, unfortunately, we can't get caught up in sort of the public opinion. You're absolutely right in terms of what the criteria in the bylaw list in terms of what needs to be in place moving forward to approve it. That's, you know, set in pen, in ink on those pages, and that's really what we rely on in terms of making that decision. But, you know, I think we're just doing our due diligence, taking a big look at everything that's been happening as a result of this, and ensuring that we're considering all things before making a decision.
I've heard a couple of rumblings from city councilors, and this was just in general conversation, that they were potentially looking at making changes to the bylaw. Have you had any conversation with the mayor or with council about that?
Yeah, we met with our board yesterday. Obviously, the mayor is the chair of our board. That's not something that we can sort of put forward in terms of what that looks like. And I'm sure that the city is doing their due diligence in terms of looking at, you know, what noise bylaws exist in other jurisdictions. I mean, certainly that is a role that council could play if they chose to going forward, is to make changes to that bylaw.
Right. We're chatting today with Chief Laura Lee Davies, the Regina Police Service. You mentioned yesterday you had a Board of Police Commissioners meeting. It's the monthly meeting that you hold. You provide a crime stat update. What are the stats looking like? And on that note, I understand we've got some federal numbers that have just been released this morning.
Yes, absolutely. So in terms of our June 2026 crime stats, we are up slightly, 3% compared to the same time last year. Violent crimes or crimes against the person are down by 2.2%, which is always good. And property crimes are up slightly at 4.8%. And we're seeing the biggest driver of those numbers are thefts, theft under, theft over. Lots of those are, you know, car digging when someone goes into a car and steals the change or whatever in there. And I think that that's a trend that we've been seeing the last couple months. And certainly when we're looking at the federal crime statistics, so those are the CCJS statistics, those are for 2025. And Regina last year was 11th in the country when it comes to the crime severity index. And this, in 2024 and in 2025, we've dropped down to 13, which is great. And, you know, one of the biggest highlights for me is that Saskatchewan had the second highest decrease, in the crime severity index in the country, which is great news for us.
Maybe just refresh our memories as to what you are measuring on that crime severity index. It puts weight to certain types of crime, correct?
Absolutely. So the most serious types of crime, so if you think about homicides, for instance, those are weighted more heavily. So it's a weighting of the most serious crimes. Obviously, the more of the more serious crimes that you have, the higher your crime severity index is. It's not a measure of the number of crimes reported, but it is that weighted. So like things like robbery, for instance, are rated quite high, obviously homicides. But the fact that our CSI has dropped by 12% is really good news.
I know this is a tough question to answer. I remember being asked this question, actually, when I was in your spot. But what do you attribute it to? If you look at the reduction on the crime severity index, which I agree with you is a great thing for the city of Regina, but for the province as a whole, anything you can point to that you think is an indicator of why that's happening?
Well, I would say nationally the trend did decrease. So nationally, overall in Canada, it decreased by 5%. And so I think that there is sort of that larger picture in terms of what's happening across the country. But for me, you know, I think it's sort of both ends of the spectrums. It's the being visible in the community, building those relationships. I think that's important to sort of prevent crime. And then on the other end of it, it's holding offenders accountable. So if you're able to arrest someone at a break and enter in progress, as it happens, you know, there's not the possibility for them doing further break and enters before they're caught. So, you know, I think it's both of those pieces that help drive those numbers, but it's certainly not a straight, you know, A equals B type of scenario.
Chief Lauralee Davies is my guest with the Regina Police Service. Chief, you mentioned in the crime stats that the category of theft, you've seen some pressure, some increases there. In policing, it's categorized into two categories: theft under $5,000, which often is, like you said, someone rooting through a car, stealing, those types of things, and theft over $5,000. I noticed the theft over $5,000 was up also significantly. Can you point to what's happening there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's almost a factor of inflation. So, you know, 20 years ago, theft over $5,000, I think, would be a fairly significant item. But now it doesn't take much for something to be over $5,000 in dollar value. And that $5,000 threshold hasn't changed, you know, as long as I can remember, as long as I've been doing that job. So I think that that's a part of it. When you look at those overall numbers for theft over, so for June of this year, we had 5 incidents, and June of last year, we had 4. So they are smaller numbers, which obviously sort of inflate that percentage increase. Mm-hmm. So the number overall isn't huge, but I think it really is just more of those crimes are falling above that threshold.
Okay, so it's not like there's not a rash of you know, ATVs or big ticket items being stolen. It's just kind of this slow creep time over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chief, I'm going to take you back to the call to prayer for a second, because as you and I were talking about this, there's a number of text messages that are coming in. I want to give you one more chance to clarify, because people are saying that, you know, decisions have been made, for example, to take the Lord's Prayer out of schools, and the Lord's Prayer not being done at some public offense and stuff. So people are questioning, why then would the police allow this to proceed? Because this, in a sense, it is, many people are drawing it as a parallel to the same thing. Can you just give us one more time an explanation on what the criteria is that you can use and what you can't use when you're making the decision?
Absolutely. So we have to stick to what is written in the noise bylaw. That's where the amplification permit process falls under. It referenced the noise bylaw in terms of what we consider in terms of, you know, it's the volume, it is the time of day, it is the area of the city. So is it in residential? Is it in a commercial area? It is the type of sound, the duration, how often it occurs. And so all of those things, the initial application met those criteria. There was nothing in there that was offside of the noise bylaw. And, you know, I think when we're talking about the Lord's Prayer in school, that's not something that's a policing issue. You know, I think that's a larger general community issue, but for police, we have to consider only what is written in the legislation that these amplification permits are issued under.
Clearly it's a topic that has a lot of people talking because the texts were coming in fast and furious as you and I chatted about it. I just wanted to give you a chance to clarify on that one point. A couple of current events that I wanted to talk about. In June, the Regina Police Service, I know, received an increased number of reports of a fraud or a scam activity involving traffic citation messages that people were receiving either by text or over email. Can you just talk a little bit about that, and what do people need to know about these messages?
Absolutely. So we did send out a release on this just in the last week or so, but essentially, you know, scammers are texting people or emailing people saying that you owe money on a traffic citation, click this link and pay it. Certainly our messaging is that traffic court would never reach out to you via a text message. If there was something like that that you've received, please be leery. Consider that it is likely a scam. If you are concerned about a traffic ticket or something that's outstanding, we would encourage you to go down to your local courthouse or to your local police service to see if there was something that was outstanding. But once you click on that link and send that money, then it's obviously that money is gone, and it's hard for us in many of these circumstances to try and recoup that. We are asking people to report if they've been a subject to this scam so that we get a good sense of what is happening in the community. There could be investigative means that we could be able to hold those offenders accountable. But for by and large, these scams, the offenders aren't in our communities or in our cities or even in our country. But we have good working relationships with other police services and do our best to try and investigate and hold people accountable. And just not too long ago, we did lay some charges in relation to the grandparent scam that was going on. We were able to locate and identify the offender and hold them accountable, charge them.
So just to follow up on that, because obviously you want people to report if they've been victimized by, like if they've actually lost money or they've had their ID stolen. But what about the people that just get a text message on their phone? They know it's a scam. They delete it. They don't click on links. Should they still be reporting this, Chief?
You know, if people want to report it, certainly they can. I appreciate that that volume of scams is going to be quite large, but it does give us a sense of what's happening in the community. Even, you know, we have virtual reporting. Somebody can go to our website and easily report. I appreciate for many folks, they don't want the inconvenience of doing that, and I certainly respect that, but it does give us a sense of what is happening in the community.
So I remember last month we had a report. A man in the city of Regina found human remains in his backyard. The Regina Police Service was asking the public for help on that case. Do you have any update on that, Chief?
Certainly, for sure. So our major crimes team, they've done a lot of investigations since that time. They've talked to a number of people that maybe have information or on the periphery of that. We're actually just waiting on DNA information to come back to help us identify the victim. So we should have that here within the next couple of weeks. And then clearly that will provide us with a solid foundation to continue that investigation moving forward. So we're just waiting on that DNA. And then once we get that, then I think things will move forward, you know, a lot more quickly.
Regina Police Service Chief Laura Lee Davies. There's been reports, and I've seen it a couple of different spots and communities in Saskatchewan. I know there was one in Regina where shoplifting is being reported, but it's not just a single person. They're working in pairs, in teams, in tandem. It's quite coordinated. Can you just talk about that? Is this becoming more and more common, and how do you combat that as a police service?
Yeah, I think generally overall, and not just in our province, but even nationally, shoplifting is up. And I don't know if that's a factor of the economy or what have you. But certainly, you know, organized retail crime is a concern, not just, like I said, in Regina, but across the country. And so we have dedicated investigators who work on under our retail theft strategy. And really, it's about working closely with our loss prevention officers and lots of our local stores to identify people that are involved, and then getting out there and doing enforcement and arresting. We just had some charges here back at the end of June where we charged, I think, four people in relation to that. But it really is becoming a larger problem and something that we're alive to and really dedicating resources to try and nip that in the bud.
Regina Chief Laura Lee Davies, before I let you go, I read a story very recently about some of the work that continues to happen with the Women's Personal Safety Team. I actually had a text come into the show asking if a person needs to apply for this, if someone is interested. Tell us about what this team is and what you're hoping to accomplish, and how people, if they're interested in learning more, can do so.
Absolutely. So it's a group of female officers and civilian members who do presentations to community members. And essentially it's around, you know, a number of things, situational awareness, safe relationships. But one of the, you know, big pieces of it is protecting yourself if you were confronted with violence. So it's actually like on the mat, you know, practicing some different initiatives. And it's really a great way for members in our community to feel confident about their personal safety and take their own safety into their own hands. And so our team does a ton of presentations. Anyone can go to our website. There's a link on there to request, and we're certainly happy to do those. They're fantastic.
Chief, always appreciate you giving us some time. Thanks so much for the check-in today.
Thank you.